get into a real estate of mind right here with Think Realty Radio, hosted by Abhi Golhar. Breaking down the latest market news, tips, and strategies, Abhi Golhar is nationally recognized for his real estate expertise. It's only on Think Realty Radio, and it starts right now.
Think Realty Nation, it's your host, Abhi Golhar. Welcome to Think Realty Radio. It's the one-hour radio that you are wishing for that comes true every single day, Monday through Friday. Now, it's Think Realty Radio. It's the power play, which means that my good friend Greg Rand is on the air. We'll be talking about markets and strategies and insights and tactics you need to dominate your investing game with real estate as a smart investor. That's right now on Think Realty Radio. Greg, welcome back.
Hey, how you doing, Abhi? Good to be here.
Awesome. Good to have you, my friend. What do you have us for today? We always have like interesting concepts and talks, but go for it.
Yeah, well, today was I think something that your listeners will like. So I get a call from Adam Stern. You know Adam. Adam is my business partner going back 20 years. He's the senior VP at Renters Warehouse for institutional sales. So he sells portfolios of 75 or 200 rental properties between one big player and another, right? So he's down in Memphis, and he's at a conference, and he's about to go on stage to moderate a panel on tenant retention. So he calls me up. He says, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. Because, like, literally, this is a guy who spent the last 10 years selling large volumes of rental property, but we got bought by a property management company. So when they assigned him a speaking role, they said, oh, he's part of a property management company. Let's have him moderate on tenant retention. He says, I haven't spoken to a tenant except for the properties that I own. I don't know what, you know. So we do this with each other, right? Sort of kind of bounce some ideas around. But it led me to thinking about, because he thought it would be a boring topic, right? He thinks it's like going to a conference and doing a panel on actuary tables in life insurance or something like that, right? Something just dull, and he was trying to get excited about it. And it reminded me, because literally after I hung up with him, I was in the drive-thru with Dunkin' Donuts, and I ran into just the most unpleasant employee that I deal with every morning practically. nice young lady, I'm sure. I guess hates her job or just hates me.
Sure.
Or maybe everybody gets the same treatment, but like I have to ask her twice, like, I'm sorry, can you say that again? She's like, come around.
Yeah.
You know, $6, come around. And I annoy her, right?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of businesses like that, right? I mean, I probably could ask you one. Like, what's your favorite example of a business that you interact with that you kind of get the impression doesn't like their own customers?
Oh, my favorite neighborhood laundromat. It is, you know, like you drop your clothes off and it's like, all right, thanks, get out of here. I'm like, I'm a human being. I want to be loved. What about me says don't love Abhi Golhar? I don't know. Maybe it's the unibrow that I have going on. Maybe it's like the bleached hair. I'm still trying to figure this out. I don't know. But every time I walk in, it's just – and then you – but what's funny, though, is you have then the other employee that says, wow, you're like, I'm going to take my job seriously. But this one, just this one, it's like, yeah, same thing. She probably just hates me. I don't know.
So that's good that at least the place doesn't have a pervasive problem. Because I think everybody has had experiences with businesses that you kind of feel almost bad to be intruding on them, right? And it's not, and it's not just the person's having a bad day or one lousy employee. It's actually you can tell that the fish is stinking from the head here, that the management of the company does not instill that customer-centric sort of attitude, right? So hey, it is what it is. That's life. I had a great experience. You know, we talk a lot here about this investment strategy that I'm executing this year in Charlotte, where I'm buying properties around an Amazon facility opening up and a train station going in, right? So I literally painstakingly chose this market. And now I don't, you know, I'm not that picky on which houses I'm going to buy. I'm going to buy three houses in this town, and I just need to know where they are, and I want them to be as nice as I can afford, right? So I get an email from the website saying, hey, this house is going live on the market on Saturday, open house on Saturday. I look at the pictures. This'll do. Like, literally, that's as hard as I look for a deal on a house. I don't care. I found a deal on a part of town. So I made an offer at 95% of asking price via text message 6 minutes after the listing went live. The agent never called me. So here's a business that I know what's going on here. I know that she knows that her inventory is going to sell. She has an open house scheduled for Saturday. It probably sold at the open house. And I'm one of these annoying investors. A lot of realtors think that investors are annoying because we're always making half price offers and acting like idiots. And it's like, but I just made a 95% of asking price offer. you should have called me back because I'm buying three houses and I barely need to see them. So, like, literally, if this woman set up six appointments to see six houses, I would have bought three of them last Saturday, right?
Yeah.
But she didn't like me. And she doesn't know me, but she treated me second class in that situation. And what I was going to tell Adam when he talked about tenant retention is that the whole industry of landlords, if we can just kind of use that as the wrapper, seems to have an attitude towards tenants that doesn't appreciate them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like the classic example of where, you know, Renters Warehouse is a big property management company, the biggest, in fact. Customers are always coming to us and being like, oh, I can't stand these annoying tenants. Mm-hmm. The tenant's just going to, I don't want to buy investment property. I want you to manage it for me either way, because I'm going to get that phone call with the toilet overflowing from this idiot tenant, right? The attitude, the whole culture of investing in rental properties specifically seems to take the tenant and consider them an annoyance. And
right.
I go through the story of your favorite lousy restaurant that you never go back to because the people don't like the customers or the examples we just gave, and say, you know, you're looking at that and you're saying there's a bad business person. There's a business owner, operator, manager who just has not instilled any idea around the idea that the customer is wonderful, that we love the customer. And that's who the tenant is if you own a rental portfolio. Mm. If you get your mindset right, you realize this is not passive. Okay, we can manage it all for you so it can be very, very, very hands-off. But it's not passive. It's an active strategy. It's not like buying a stock or a mutual fund and leaving it alone. Our whole attitude here is that you're building a small business. It's a side hustle. It doesn't have to be full-time. Probably shouldn't be full-time for most people. Mm-hmm. Just accumulate a portfolio over time. But think about what any business should be thinking about who wants to make it, right? Mm-hmm. Number one, who's your customer? What do they care about? How do you provide it for them best way you can, right? Simple stuff, right? What is the nature of your product? Like for me, Belmont, North Carolina, near the new train station, 10 miles away from the new Amazon facility, great product, right? Mm-hmm. Who's my competition? If someone's going to do an analysis of a business, they're going to say, who's the competition? Well, my competition is other landlords of houses. My competition is apartments. And here's a big mindset shift that we want our clients to all sort of wrap their heads around, that you're in competition with home ownership, right? You're
that's
in competition with the American
point.
Dream itself.
Yeah, that's right. Right.
Most people that move out of single-family rentals move out because they're buying a home for themselves, right? So they mm-hmm. have that wired into their psyche. They're American. They want to own a home, and they should, right? But the point is, if you can hang on to them for one more year, back to Adam's, you know, panel discussion topic, tenant retention. If you hang on to a tenant for an extra year, the economics of your investment get substantially better. If instead of moving out every 3 years, which is the average, you keep your tenants 4, 5, 6 years, the economics of not having any turnover, not having to do interim repairs, you do them as you go, not paying a commission to re-rent the place, not having downtime while it's being marketed to the next tenant, mm-hmm. all those costs don't add up, and that income keeps flowing in. And so tenant retention is crucial. And so thinking about it like you're opening up a retail store and your competition is like Nordstrom, right? What is their best product? What is their customer service? Their mm-hmm. attitude towards customers is really, really, really strong. Mm-hmm. And the understanding of the customer attribute or the product attributes, like I have a house, my house has a yard. So I beat the apartment on that game, right? Because mm-hmm. if you want to have a dog, you want to have a house, you want to have a backyard, you don't want to share walls. So there's an attribute, a feature of my product that's better than my apartment competitor, although his is cheaper. Mm-hmm. Okay. So he's got an advantage over me. My houses are nicer than most of my single family home landlord competition, because most of them buy the lousiest house they can so they can make money on fixing it up. I don't. I buy the nicest house I can.
Right.
My rule is I'd want to live here. Right? It's not. I like the front porch. I want to live here.
Yeah.
And then the attributes of the customer experience, right? How many landlords out there think in terms of customer experience? The answer is very few. The ones who do buy the right stuff in the right place, take care of it the right way, and take care of their tenants the right way. And as a result of that, their business is more profitable.
If we pay attention to the customers, to the consumers, we will generally almost always have a much better time growing our business and growing our portfolio. If we don't, we'll lose the game. More when we come back on Think Realty Radio with my good friend Greg Rand from Renters Warehouse. It's the power play. It's the insight you need to dominate. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more Think Realty Radio with Abhi Golhar after these messages.
Mm-hmm.
Attention, real estate investors. Join the nation's top pros in residential and commercial investing in Baltimore at the Think Realty Conference and Expo, April 6th and 7th. Network with industry leaders and service providers and learn how to earn a higher return on your real estate investments. The Think Realty Conference and Expo in Baltimore, April 6th and 7th. Text radio to 96270. That's radio to 96270. Or visit thinkrealty.com/Baltimore to register.
Would you like to know the easiest way to create wealth and passive income with real estate? Now you can access the best deals without the stress or hassle of having to find, renovate, or manage them. Narada Real Estate Investments saves you time by providing you with professionally managed income properties in the best U.S. markets. Learn more at PassiveRealEstateGuide.com and download your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing. Simply visit PassiveRealEstateGuide.com.
Hi, Kevin Ortner here, CEO of Renters Warehouse. I'm guessing that many of you might be considering a move. Maybe you need to relocate, maybe you're combining households, or maybe you already own investment property. Whether you have one home or a whole portfolio, my expert team at Renters Warehouse can help you perfectly price your property and rent it out fast, easy, and worry-free in just 17 days on average. For one low flat monthly fee, our professional landlords will manage your property 24/7. We collect the rent, we handle maintenance requests, inspections, all that regulatory red tape, and we'll even warranty our tenants for up to 18 months. That means if your tenant doesn't stay for any reason, Renters Warehouse will replace them for free. There's no upfront fees, no binding contracts, and you can cancel at any time. Go to renterswarehouse.com right now to book a free home rental price analysis and see what your home will rent for today. A professional landlord will visit your property and show you personally how to rent your home fast and for top dollar.
Find out how much your home.
Back with Think Realty Radio and your host and realty dealmaker, Avi Golhar.
Think Realty Nation, it's Avi Golhar. We are back to Think Realty Radio. My guest, Greg Rand from Renters Warehouse. We're answering your questions in this segment. We'll get through as many as we can for the rest of the show. And this is some of my favorite radio. It's so much fun to do. Always get a kick out of these questions, especially this one coming out of South Carolina. Adrian from South Carolina asks, I'm a new landlord of a small apartment building. Recently, one of my tenants has complained about a strong smell. Gee, I wonder what that strong smell could be. Of course, it's marijuana coming from the other apartment in the building. Marijuana is not legal in my state. However, I'm aware that many people use it nowadays. I have a suspect of who it could be. I think she has a sneaking suspicion of who it could be. But after I give 24 hours notice and inspect his apartment, I doubt I would find anything. What should I do?
Interesting question. So
this is an interesting
first of all,
question.
Avi, do me a favor. Just take a walk around the building. You know, I know this is your story here, and it's your landlord who's asking.
Hey, you know what? I could very well be
just open the window.
It's right. It's called the air freshener sprayer for a reason. Psh, all over the place.
Well, it's a good question. There's a good chance that in her lease someplace, if she used a boilerplate lease, that it says that they can't do anything illegal, and so she's got standing to do something about it if she chooses to. It sounds like she might be a little bit flexible. A couple of ways you can go in a situation like this. One, you post up something in a public place or you put a letter in everybody's mailbox saying, this has been a complaint and whoever's doing it needs to stop. And just to serve notice that the people who are going to do that need to be a little more covert. Mm-hmm. If their neighbors are smelling it, they're in danger. They'll know pretty quickly that they're in danger of getting arrested if somebody wanted to drop a dime on them. And I don't think the landlord wants to do that. But I think you put something out there that serves notice that, hey, you think you're doing a good job, but you're not doing a good job of masking the smell.
Right.
Number two, get the fan in the window. I mean, if it was my building, okay, and it sounds like she might live there. I can't tell from the question. But if it's my building and I've got multiple tenants and they're dependent on this, that person has to clean up their act if it's bothering somebody else because it isn't legal. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, you got somebody doing something illegal that's bothering another tenant. You have to put that other tenant's needs first. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to call the cops. You can I mean, literally, you can put a smoke eater on the stoop and say, here, bring this inside and plug it in, knucklehead, and and maybe try putting a towel under the door. You know, I went to college, too. There's techniques out there that can mask the smell. So that's what I would do. I would try to put an end to it for the benefit of the other tenants. I wouldn't hesitate. Mm-hmm. If it kept going, then I would let the person know that, you know, they have to leave. But I don't think they will. I think they'll probably get into compliance and it'll be okay.
So I think this goes for other illegal activity as well, right? It isn't just the marijuana. If marijuana is legal in your state, then you're just going to have to find a way around it, or and maybe just connect with that tenant. But really, if it is legal, there's not a whole lot you can do about it.
And then, but there's something else though, and that is that you can have a no smoking property.
That's right.
In most states,
you can do
I
that
think.
Too.
You could also listen. Here's how I would think about it. I would say forget about it being weed and think of it as the person is blasting music. Okay? Everyone knows what they would do if someone's blasting music. You can knock on the door and you say, turn it down.
Right.
All right? You're disturbing the other tenants. So I would approach it the same way. I wouldn't stigmatize it in my own head in terms of trying to, you know, being hesitant about, I don't want to be uncool. Don't worry about any of that, right?
Right.
You're blasting music. You live in an apartment building. You need to turn it down. So you're smoking weed. It stinks through the hallway. You need to knock it off. Period. And everybody knows that if they get multiple warnings on something like that, they're going to be asked to leave.
Yeah.
And so you take care of your building, and I have a feeling that somebody will be taking walks around the block a little more often than they do right now, and everything will be fine. Oddly.
Hey, or if you're like me and you're a little bit of a diva, you'll just go purchase the most expensive Chanel cologne for men and just spray it all over before you leave.
Yes, yeah, so, yeah, yeah, I bet you miss the weed smell now, don't you?
Right.
Smells
That's
like
right.
a brothel.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, no, not in my area for sure. But I agree. It's definitely like a no smoking building. You can convert it. Here are the rules. If you don't play by the rules, if you don't play nice with the other kids in the sandbox, you feel free to leave anytime, or we'll kick you out. So take care of your building. Take care of your tenants. At the end of the day, that's the lesson. And move forward. Shantae from Houston asks, I'm graduating from college next year with a minor in real estate. I've been waiting and saving as much money as possible during this time. And I think I'm ready to buy my first property. There's an 8-unit complex nearby, and the owner is selling because of a deceased spouse. Should I take the deal? Will it be too hard to finish college with this building on my plate? Thanks for the help. I mean, should I take the deal without knowing any details of the deal or your investing personality? I can kind of gauge that with the question, but I can't tell you whether or not to take the deal without knowing any of the numbers. So we can hypothesize. I think we can definitely
talk about it. Yeah, let's hypothesize. Here's a person graduating from college with a minor in real estate, okay? So hopefully she is using this building as a case study in her class, talking mm-hmm. to a professor to make sure she knows how to. I assume if you're taking real estate classes as a minor that you've learned how to do a cash flow analysis. That should be, you know, real estate 101. And I assume that she knows that it is a decent deal that fits in with her plans. Let's assume that if she's going to school for it, she didn't, like, wake up yesterday, buy a coaching program and then jump out into the world of real estate investing. She's made a decision. She's graduating in a month. And so my first question is, if you have crunch time over the next month, I mean, a month is like tomorrow. I know when you're in college age, a month seems like a long time. A month is a second for me.
That's right.
A year is a minute for me. So a month goes by pretty quick.
Yeah.
Shantae. So if that deal is not going to be there, maybe a slow play it a little bit just so you can make sure that you get through. Because an 8-unit complex, it sounds like she thinks it's going to be some work. So it may need to be fixed up.
Mm-hmm.
It's 8 different tenants. And so it depends on how stabilized it is. I love the fact that she, at the very least, is going to come out of graduation day, put her cap and gown down, and then go and start investing in real estate. I mean, that's like an awesome thing to hear about from a young person. By the time she's 50 years old, she'll look back at that 8-unit complex and say, I remember this. This was the first property I bought. It was the one I loved the most. It's caused me a bunch of headaches. So I say, I assume she's done her homework. I'm excited she's going to take the plunge. If you got to wait a month to finish up your finals, wait a month and finish the final. There'll be another
right.
building, you know, a month later if that one's already gone. There'll be others. But congratulations on setting a plan in motion and being so ready to execute on it.
Yeah, I would also make sure you have enough capital in reserves. So you've been saving money, as much money as possible. That is huge. That's really, really, really good. run it by a couple of professors, like Greg mentioned, and see what their take is and what are they seeing that you're not seeing, and maybe vice versa, and get as ironclad confident as you can about this deal before going in. Where are you going to get the financing? Do you have enough cash to put down? Maybe your professors could JV with you on this deal. That would be kind of interesting as well, by participating in equity. And then where are you going to get the debt? So going down this track, like you said, you have that minor in real estate. So you know the differences between good debt, bad debt. You also know the differences between debt and equity. Structure the deal appropriately. And quite frankly, make sure you have a property management piece as well, because then, yes, you can absolutely continue to finish college and maybe even go get a master's in real estate if you wanted to.
I should
and
have still, thought of that.
You know, and
good,
still,
that was a good answer.
Yeah, and still be able to manage this. And if you're looking for somebody to manage, I mean, you know, check out Renter's Warehouse. Look at that. I did everything for you on that, Greg.
Awesome. Yeah, you just did my job for me. That's awesome.
There you go.
Hey, you know what? Another thing that I would suggest, because I know we're coming to the break in a minute, to Shantae, is to. That's a complicated investment, okay? An 8-unit building is a complicated investment. It's going to be on the expensive side. If it's not expensive, that means it's probably relatively inexpensive apartments, which means there's going to be a fair amount of turnover. There are simpler things to get involved in when you're sort of breaking the ice on a new long-term strategy. Mm-hmm. Maybe a 2-family house to start with, something like that, and keep it a little more simple.
There you go. Love it. Simpler the better, especially when you're starting out, so you can get a good grip on what's going on. We have more listener questions when we come back from the break here on Think Realty Radio. It's the Power Play. You're getting all the juice, all the gold nuggets today. It's a lot of fun with my good friend Greg Rand from Renter's Warehouse. We'll be right back after these messages.
We'll be right back with more Think Realty Radio with Avi Golhar after these messages.
Where are successful investors turning for the latest news, trends, and insights in real estate? Think Realty Magazine. Sign up for your investor-level membership at thinkrealty.com today to start receiving Think Realty Magazine delivered to your door and inbox every month. Boost your competitive advantage with news from the nation's leading investors, market updates, the hottest investment strategies, and more. Take the next step toward building more wealth. Sign up today at thinkrealty.com.
National Real Estate Insurance Group is the industry leader in providing coverage customized for investors. We insure occupied, vacant, and renovation properties across all 50 states, can combine all properties on one schedule, and offer convenient pay-as-you-go monthly billing. Visit NREIG.com today for your free custom proposal. That's National Real Estate Insurance Group at NREIG.com or call 888-741-8454, 888-741-8454.
Savvy investors make use of smart savings. Think Realty Radio listeners, you have the opportunity to save smart with Sherwin-Williams Paint. Sign up for your free Think Realty membership now and activate discounts to save up to 50% off of select Sherwin-Williams Paint. Rehabbers, investors, property managers, this is your opportunity to save big for your next project. Start saving up to 50% now. Go to thinkrealty.com/paint and then click discounts.
Need a fast, reliable decision-making tool in today's real estate landscape? RentFacts combines real estate expertise and data to deliver decision-making tools for real estate pros. Investors, lenders, or property managers, RentFacts can determine rents and reliability of income for specific neighborhoods, forecast gross and net income in seconds. Find out how RentFacts can predict and compare how demographics, economics, crime, and other location factors affect the stability of your rental with a risk score. Go to RentFactsPro.com. RentFactsPro.com.
We're back with Think Realty Radio and your host and realty dealmaker, Avi Golhar.
All right, Think Realty Nation, it's Avi Golhar. We're back. You're listening to Think Realty Radio. Have questions for us? Get in touch. You can go to thinkrealtyradio.com. It's the Power Play, which means my good friend from Renter's Warehouse, Greg Rand, is on the air. We're answering your questions and diving deeper into some of these topic strategies on how you can make money with the real estate investing. We've taken two questions so far. The one from South Carolina came in with marijuana being an issue in the apartment complex or the small apartment building. Our response to that? make it a no-smoking building, and take care of your tenants, take care of the building, right? It's illegal in South Carolina to smoke marijuana, so make sure that you take the necessary precautions. And quite frankly, as the owner of the building, you are liable for anything that happens. So make sure that you're policing it appropriately. Shantae from Houston had asked if she should purchase an eightplex as she completes her real estate degree or a minor in real estate in college. And, you know, quite frankly, there are two things to consider here. One, time; two, money; and maybe a third being your expertise. Have the right people around you. Make sure that you have the right team, the right advisory folks. And of course, you want to make sure you have the right amount of cash to go ahead and get started. It's not overwhelming. Just make sure that you have the right team to help you leverage, scale, and grow. Wendy from Connecticut asks, my parents weren't the best savers, and I learned from their mistake to start saving for retirement early. So I contribute a large amount of my monthly paycheck to my 401k. I have about $90,000 in there right now. I'm also looking at purchasing my first rental property. The problem is I'm almost completely broke when it comes to liquid cash. Should I stop contributing to my 401k in order to have money to secure a better loan? What do you guys think? I would we should unpack this one. This one has so many questions.
Yeah, I wish I knew how old she was, because 90 grand in a 401k is a beautiful thing. And if she's got the discipline to do that, like, I would be hard pressed to give anybody the advice to dismantle something that they have gotten so internalized into their life that is producing those kinds of results. The good news is you can use a 401k to invest in real estate. And most of the world doesn't know that. You can use a 401k and you can use an IRA. Self-directed IRA and 401k are a thing. They've been legal for a very long time. You can grow the investments tax exempt or tax deferred. And the reason why nobody knows about this is that the people that set up her 401k usually manage the 401k. And so, you know, it's too much to expect a financial advisor to advise you to take your money someplace else. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't blame the financial advisory world that they don't tell the whole world. And they even, you know, I've met more than a few over the years who say it can't be done. Like, customers who say, my financial advisor told me it's illegal to use a 401k or IRA to buy real estate. That's totally not true. So either the person didn't know, or they just didn't, they probably didn't know, because it's not widely known. But you can, and there are rules around it. Google it, using my 401k to invest in real estate. There's a lot of articles about it, and there are companies that will be your administrator of that, because you have to make sure that you compartmentalize the money, you don't commingle funds with non-qualified funds. You got to be careful about it. You got to make sure you put enough money in so that you have reserves, so when a repair has to get done, you have enough money in there, because that's, so when the repair gets done, that's when you commingle. You're like, oh, I got to order a new, you know, a new air conditioning system. It's going to be $3,000. I don't have $3,000 liquid in the 401k. So you go, you buy it, you figure untangle that later on. Mm-hmm. If you get caught doing that, they disqualify your 401k, your IRA. And so now you're going to be owing taxes on it. So it blows the whole thing up. So really know the rules. They're not that complicated, but there are a few of them. Get somebody on your side doing it. But if you've got 90 grand, taking 50 of that and using it as a down payment to buy a piece of real estate and then growing that in your 401k is an awesome idea. Leave the rest of it in cash, keep piling money into it, and keep rinsing and repeating. And you put 20 years into that plan and you're sitting pretty.
So there are a couple of the those rules that you mentioned, Greg. They're called disqualified transactions, especially that you got to look those up. And you mentioned that as well. Again, huge caution, huge like yellow flag there, and not a red flag, but just caution, right? Understand what a disqualified transaction is. You can even go to Google, type in disqualified transaction plus IRA or self-directed IRA, and you'll get a lot of good information. Just make sure that your IRA, your self-directed IRA, cannot lend money to yourself. Okay, like, you can't do that.
Another example is you can't buy a vacation house.
Yes, that's right.
You can't buy a building that your business rents. Okay, I know this because I tried to do both of those things, and I found out they were not allowed.
You get a slap on the wrist.
Well-intentioned. As soon as I found out there was a roadblock, I didn't do it. But it's, you know, listen, it's things like that that it has to be for. One of the purposes that is squarely allowed is a rental property.
Yeah.
So the idea of owning single-family rentals in your 401k, if that's appealing to you, then I have good news. You've been saving for this for a long time, Wendy, in Connecticut, and now you've got 90 grand liquid to work with. So I would go in, you know, go in at a halfway point. And I just am excited. You know, I really hope these folks sort of follow us on social and stay in touch with us, because I want to hear from her in 10 years and see, you know, how many houses she now owns that are paid down or paid off, and how it feels to go to work knowing that you don't have to go tomorrow if you get sick of it.
Right.
What a beautiful freedom that you get when you build something that pays you an income and gets more valuable every day.
I wouldn't want to buy anything else that falls outside of that, what you just said, right? It gives you income, it appreciates in value, and it's a win-win-win all the way around. The other thing that I would tell Wendy, though, is she said, the problem is I'm almost completely broke when it comes to liquid cash. So that's also not like a good feeling, right, where you really are living foot to mouth. Like, that's never fun.
So, I think it's hand to mouth, Abby, but okay.
You know, I make up my own phrases on the show, okay? I'm allowed to do that. These types of things happen.
I'm picturing one of those chimpanzees that, like, has, like, hands for feet that's picking up something to eat.
Exactly. I mean, we're allowed to be ambidextrous here, okay, across all limbs, not just hands. So
I want everybody to be picturing that Abby's in his bare feet right now, and he's grabbing a grape.
I actually can do that. I can write with my right foot. It's so weird. So you're almost completely broke. You want to put yourself in a good financial position so you don't feel the stress of that every single month and every single day. Take 4 or 5 or 6 months, stock up a little bit of cash, put it into some type of money market savings account that you can have access to, okay? Like, I'm a huge believer in just when you're investing, you need to be clear-headed and you don't want to be stressed out, especially from a daily living perspective. So if that's where you are, seriously, take a couple extra months, be able to breathe, and then go and jump in. All right. Next question. Derek from Reno, Nevada asks, I recently inherited a sum of $400,000, and I think I'm ready to purchase my first investment property. My question is it better to use the money for down payments on a couple of properties or invest all $400,000 into a single property? Now, Greg, don't answer this one yet because we got to go to break in a second. But as the listener, you're listening to this question, and I want you to think about what you would do. Would you purchase one single property and essentially use the $400,000 down on one single property, which means you'd be buying a larger deal, potentially $2 to $3 million in size? Or would you purchase a couple of properties smaller in value, but now you're a little more diversified? So think about that question during the break and as we're going to break. And Greg, I do want to ask you, you know, we've been answering a lot of listener questions. And one of the listener questions that I always get all the time is, hey, I'm in my early 20s. How do I become a millionaire? Outside of understanding your investment personality, having a little bit of cash and being patient, what's one more gold nugget you can offer our audience that is in their early 20s as we go to break?
Just be prepared to wait until you're 40 to be a millionaire, and then find out what you love to do and do it really well so you can make enough money that don't try to be a millionaire by the time you're 28 years old, because you'll make a lot of dumb mistakes. Live your life, figure out what you love, get good at it, work hard at it, be there by the time you're 40.
And you got to be patient with all that. Completely agreed. All right, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're answering Derek's question from Reno. All right, see you in a sec.
We'll be right back with more Think Realty Radio with Abhi Golhar after these messages. Attention real estate investors. Join the nation's top pros in residential and commercial investing in Baltimore at the Think Realty Conference and Expo, April 6th and 7th. Network with industry leaders and service providers and learn how to earn a higher return on your real estate investments. The Think Realty Conference and Expo in Baltimore, April 6th and 7th. Text radio to 96270. That's radio to 96270. Or visit thinkrealty.com/Baltimore to register.
You have to play the percentages when you invest in real estate. Win the percentage game with Angel Oak Prime Bridge. Whether it's fix and flips as low as 8% or landlord financing starting at 5.5%, Angel Oak Prime Bridge wins with a customer-focused approach to your business. Go to aopbconnect.com to see how you can win at the percentage game with Angel Oak Prime Bridge. And introducing our new wholesale partner program available at aopbconnect.com. The secret to winning at the percentage game.
Don't miss the Real Estate Note event of the year. The Paper Source Note Symposium is 3 days of learning and networking with the most experienced note investors on the planet. Discover how to buy non-performing and other real estate notes. Meet keynote speaker Eddie Wilson, president of Think Realty Radio, at the Paper Source Note Symposium, April 11th through the 13th in Las Vegas. Visit papersourceseminars.com right now and enter the discount code ThinkRealty for $50 off your ticket. That's papersourceseminars.com.
The key to success in any industry is having a network of skilled professionals who can help you do your job effectively. The American Association of Private Lenders believes that with better resources, you get better results. By visiting the American Association of Private Lenders website, you will find the resources to put more deals together, but better deals. Who doesn't want to improve their bottom line? To find a credible private lending professional, visit AAPLonline.com today.
We're back with Think Realty Radio and your host and realty dealmaker, Abhi Golhar.
Think Realty Nation, it's Abhi Golhar. It's the last 10 minutes of Think Realty Radio. That means Greg and I are going to go as fast as we can to give you all the information as possible. Totally kidding. We're not going to do that. But before the break, we did have a listener question. Derek from Reno, if you're just joining us, we love answering your questions here on Think Realty Radio. The best way to have us answer your question or to ask your question is go to thinkrealtyradio.com. On the right side, you'll see a form that says ask your question. Fill in your name, your question, hit submit, and we'll answer it right here on the radio show for you. If you want to engage with us a little further, check out our magazine called Think Realty Magazine. You can pick it up at Barnes & Noble. It's a great magazine. Greg writes for it. I write for it. And all around, you get a lot of good insights. And then you'll have questions. So what better way to then go to thinkrealtyradio.com and ask your question? All right. Question from Derek from Reno. Recently inherited a sum of $400,000, ready to purchase the first investment. Question, guys, is it better to use this $400,000 for down payments on a couple of properties or buy one single larger property? Greg, what are your thoughts?
This is a great question because it's a teachable one. First of all, I'm very impressed that Derek lives in Reno, didn't go to the casino and put it all on red and see if he can double up.
That's right. Very impressive. Good job, Derek.
Good job. Good discipline there. So here's the thing. The reason why this asset class is so spectacular is because it creates wealth in a couple of ways, okay? And it's better than other forms of investment for that reason in a very tangible way, but people don't actually see it because the people that sell real estate don't know how to present it that way. That's why we're in this business, is that Renters Warehouse is a real estate company and a property management company in one, and our technology reveals what I'm about to tell you, which is whatever he spends that 400 grand on is likely to make him a 10% return, give or take. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the way that return, that's straight up, and roughly half of that, maybe a little more than half, let's call it 5% of the 10%, just to make it easy numbers, mm-hmm. is going to be in yield. All right. So he's going to generate income. He's going to pay expenses. He's going to have money left over. And if he put $400,000 in, he would get 5% every year. So 20 grand, again, round numbers, mm-hmm. In income coming in. He could do whatever he wants with that income. That's after expenses. And if he also bought a property that appreciated at 5% a year, which is fairly common, it's usually more like 3.5, but again, round numbers, then that $400,000 house is going to go up in value by 5% that year also. So he'll get 20 grand in equity. So the house will be worth 420,000 because it went up 5%. Mm-hmm. So that's the beauty of it, is you got 20 grand in cash coming in and you get 20 grand in equity being built up over time. And of course, the equity compounds because now if it goes up again 5% the following year, that's 5% of 420,000. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a larger number than 20. But here's the beauty of his question, is that buying it for cash is a great idea. But putting down, let's say, half, Okay, so using the $400,000 as a down payment to buy $800,000 worth of real estate, which is a very responsible way to do it. You're not taking a big mortgage. You're not bringing on a big payment. The income from the property is going to be more than enough to cover the expenses and still generate all in a 5% return for you on the yield. Mm-hmm. But here's the kicker. When that $800,000 worth of real estate goes up 5%, instead of getting $20,000 worth of more equity, you get $40,000 of equity. That's called leverage. Mm-hmm. So you use somebody else's money to purchase the property. The income from the property, the rent you're collecting, more than cover the expense of the note. You're still generating the cash return of roughly 5%. But now, because you controlled $800,000 worth of real estate with your $400,000, now you've added $40,000 in equity to your portfolio. And when that number is compared to what you actually put down, the $400,000, you saw a 10% return just on the appreciation in that situation. So you got 5% on the yield, and then you got 10% on the appreciation because you only put $400,000 into this thing. Mm-hmm. That is where the snowball comes in. So I would resist putting it down as a 25% down payment, because if you do my math and you say, well, what if I put the $400,000 down and then I went out and bought $1.6 million worth of real estate? Well, the leverage on that is beautiful, because now you've got 5% of $1.6 million, but you got a big payment now. And if you have vacancies, you're going to wind up going into pocket to cover the expenses. So I love it. The fact that he asked about using it all and making it a total cash purchase means that he's going about this in a way that, hey, this was found money. It's a windfall inheritance. I want to make sure that I don't do anything dumb with it. That's a really good attitude, because a lot of people blow it. He locks it into property, and that's going to wind up being a gift that just keeps on giving the rest of his life. So doing it responsibly, all cash, still responsible to do it with 50% down payment. Probably still okay to do a 30% down payment, but I wouldn't go any smaller than that. And as always, I would strongly recommend taking a look at buying single family houses. Reno happens to be a good market for that. Single family homes allow you to do that, buy $800,000 worth of houses. And then let's say he's got a child that's going to be going to college. He can peel one of those houses off. Mm-hmm. If you bought $800,000 shopping center or apartment building, you can't take one unit out of that and then liquidate it.
That's right.
But if you bought four houses at $200,000 a piece, and then you want to send a kid to college, boom, you've got $200,000 coming to you. Or actually, you have half of that because you have a mortgage on it. But the point is that it's granular.
That's right.
Okay, you can sell a door out of a portfolio where you can't do that with any other form of commercial real estate.
I wonder if eventually we're going to see this these container kind of complexes, and if you can just start pulling out containers, right? Wouldn't that be funny? If you had just a bunch of these semi-containers stacked on top of each other and you don't pay rent, your container is moved out of the apartment complex?
You know, I was missing this trend until literally a month ago when somebody came and told me of a big idea of containers. And I'm like, containers, like the things that they pull behind trucks? Yeah. They don't have windows.
Right.
Ah, well, you can cut a window in, but they're made of tin. Like, I don't get it.
Right.
And he said, just think of it as a trailer. I said, okay, so can we just call them trailers then instead of containers? Because they sound creepy. That should be pallets of paper towels and cans of soup, not people. But well, whatever. Maybe I'm missing it. I guess the stackability is the thing, but okay.
it's really interesting. It really is interesting. I was at I was in Austin, Texas, maybe last year, and there's this bar called the Container Bar, and it's exactly that, right? It's just like these old containers, and it's a really unique environment. And then you wonder, I think they're just helping people get used to this concept, because now we're just going to be shipped in these containers and we're going to live in these containers, and that's exactly what's going to happen. So
yeah, I hear the whole tiny house thing is funny too. Like I watched the show. It's pretty cool. They make these miniature houses. And then you look at it and you say, okay, so what if she needs to go to the bedroom and you need to go to the kitchen? Like, who has to step outside so that you can pull that maneuver off? Because the places are so tiny. But, you know, hippies are going to do what hippies are going to do. So they like the tiny house. That's awesome.
Are you calling me a hippie? I think
you have a tiny house?
I mean, I want a tiny house. I think that'd be great. I'm 5'4". I think a tiny house is all that I need.
Well, you know, I think you're saying something that you think is politically correct. If you wanted a tiny house, Abby, why don't you have one?
This is true. I don't want a
Where do
tiny
you live?
House.
9,000 square foot mansion. And why are you saying this? You try to impress the hipsters?
No, I think so. In Atlanta, for example, tiny houses are not only a thing, but there are a lot of folks that own property that have tiny houses in their backyard because it's just an added revenue stream. It's great.
I want to see, listen, we're going to call you on this. We want to know next week what actions you took to move forward on your plan to live in a tiny house.
I'll tell you what action I'm going to take. Absolutely nothing. Like, that's what I'm going to do, this tiny house movement. But I mean,
that might work for you. You're not a huge guy, so it might.
Yeah, you're right.
You know,
but I think it also helps with a minimalistic kind of perspective too. You know, like, that's a really big thing. There's one of my favorite books on Amazon that I ordered recently. It's called Minimalism, and they talk about just moving things out of your life, right? Like donating stuff that you don't need, you're never going to read again, yeah, you're not going to wear, all that. And maybe for that lifestyle.
I like all my stuuff.
I've got
1,500 square feet per person in my family. So we never have to see each other.
That's such a great idea. All right, we've got to end the show in a second. I love the banter back and forth. Couple gold nuggets from what I, as somebody listening, somebody that's interested in investing in real estate, should take away from this conversation you and I had today. Go.
What one big takeaway?
A couple
I love the
takeaways.
Question about becoming a millionaire, a 23-year-old who wants to be a millionaire. And I loved giving the advice that, hey, man, it takes time. And if you rush, you know, you make a mistake. If you're running a mile-long race and you sprint for the first 100 yards, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So take a little pressure off yourself and really figure out what you love. If real estate is what you love, then you're in good company. There's a lot of us out there that feel that way. But especially in real estate, if you want to be a millionaire, figure it's going to take you a couple of decades and, you know, work hard to save the money to do it, and just be patient.
That's right. And figure out your why. What's your ultimate why? You can make all the money in the world, but if you don't know ultimately why you're doing it, then there's no amount of money that will give you the satisfaction of living your day-to-day life. You'll just want to go accumulate more, and that's not the entire point. If you want to talk about it, get in touch. Go to thinkrealtyradio.com. Greg, thanks so much for your participation today.
Thank you.
You got it. You want to check him out? Runner's Warehouse. You know how to get in touch with me anywhere online, on social, at Avi Golhar. Until next time, happy investing.
The show is over, but Avi's expertise is available for you 24/7 at thinkrealtyradio.com. Think Realty Radio, a real estate of mind. Online at thinkrealtyradio.com.